Did you know that Jesus is honoured by those who do not call themselves Christians? For example, Muslims honour Jesus as one of the most important prophets. They even believe Jesus was born of a virgin. Some Buddhists honour Jesus as a minor god, the enlightened one. Many Hindus honour Jesus as a guru or yoga, according to their traditions. Followers of Buddha view Jesus as a great prophet as well. And one of the many and also as one of the many manifestations of God. Even in non-religious circles, Jesus is honoured by many for his compassion and his wisdom. Thomas Jefferson, who did not accept the deity of Christ, still describes his teachings as the most sublime and benevolent code of morals which has ever been offered to man. Now, I think it's accurate to say that the people and groups just mentioned are, in fact, not honouring Jesus, but are instead honouring a narrow and even false concept of Jesus. But for those of us who would call ourselves Christians, who honour Jesus Christ according to how the scriptures describe him, why? Why do we honour Jesus? It's Sunday. Welcome to the week that changed everything. No, it wasn't actually a week, but I'm talking about what we call Holy Week. That week 2,000 years ago that concluded on Easter. Most of us are familiar with Easter Sunday and Good Friday, and still others have heard of Palm Sunday. So, I'd like us to look at three things. First, I want us to look at how people honoured Jesus when he came to Jerusalem. Second, I want to talk about why they honoured Jesus. And from there, I'd like to come back to our initial question about why we honour Jesus. So in verse 7, Mark tells us that they brought a colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting. Now for us today, this may seem like quite a strange welcome. People throwing their cloaks on the ground, others throwing branches or possibly reeds or dry grass, and then everyone shouting. So what's going on here? Well, certain Old Testament passages seem to point to the fact that what the crowd was doing here with Jesus is honouring him, as they would a dignitary or victorious ruler. He is so honoured that his path must be made supple and worthy. A person respected in this way should not have to ride across dirt. Instead, he would be coming across a path strewn with robes and branches. Really, just like the red carpet is rolled out for dignitaries today. You see, usually pilgrims come into Jerusalem, even if they rode most of the way. The final leg of that journey would be completed on foot. So Jesus is set apart here as he enters. And as he enters, he is welcomed with shouts. John's Gospel tells us that the people were also carrying palm branches as they lifted their voices. And this is where, obviously, we get Palm Sunday. Now, let me ask you this. If you were present, would you also be shouting? Would you be waving a palm branch? This should cause us to think about why they did this and in this way. And let's look at verses 9 and 10 again. Those who went ahead, those who followed, shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." There are three things here, parts of their praise. First, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Comes right from Psalm 118. The end of that psalm talks about the blessedness of a pilgrim coming to Jerusalem, to the temple. But in Jesus' case, this is led by shouts of Hosanna. This word Hosanna comes from the Psalm also 118, verse 25. And it reads, "Save us, we pray, O Lord." And the phrase "save us" in Hebrew is Hosanna. So the crowd would have been used to reciting these verses during the Feast of the Tabernacles. Jewish tradition tells us that they would recite Psalm 118 once a day for 6 days. And the seventh day, they would quote that verse while waving branches. And notice the final part of their praise in verse 10. "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." This is referring to the people's expectation of the Messiah, the coming king from David's family who would save Israel. So, what we see here is that the crowd is not simply welcoming another pilgrim into Jerusalem, even a well-known pilgrim. They are not simply welcoming a foreign dignitary or a bigwig under the authority of those who considered... They appear to be welcoming the Messiah. They are welcoming a king from David's line. They are welcoming Jesus to the city of his ancestor, the capital of Israel. These people were honouring Jesus because they believed that Jesus, as the Messiah, would begin the work of restoration, that his arrival marked the beginning of the end of the Roman armies that occupied their land. They honoured Jesus because he was their supposed liberator, free and would free them from Roman rule, Roman taxes, and restore their political pride. Can you imagine living under a foreign power, under the authority of those who you consider to be not worthy, unclean, those who worshipped idols? Do you see why the people are going wild? The situation, the solution to their biggest problem is riding into town on a colt. But we know how the story ends, don't we? Like the Muslims or the Buddhists or even Thomas Jefferson, these people were not honouring Jesus according to the truth, but according to their own ideas about who they thought he was, who they wanted him to be. Now, the way in which they honoured Jesus was perfectly appropriate. It was exactly how Jesus should have been treated. There was nothing wrong with the way in which they honoured him. The problem was, why? The people were right in their identification of Jesus as the Messiah, but they were wrong about how the Messiah should save them. Remember, in a few days, this crowd shouting Hosanna, some of them, maybe more than we would expect, will be shouting something else. They will be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus will fail to meet their expectations. So they will reject him, and they will want him dead. Now, the big question is, why do we honour Jesus? Do we honour Jesus because we believe he will liberate us from everyday burdens? Because he will protect our families from tragedy? Do we honour Jesus because he gives us wisdom? Do we honour Jesus because we're taught to honour Jesus and that's just what we do? These are the reasons that we should honour him. No, they're not. We know the truth is that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to die. He was coming to give his life as a ransom for many. So, should we honour him because he loved us and died in our place? And should we honour him because he rose from the dead? Are those the reasons we should honour Jesus? And in the end, the answer is still no. Then why do we honour Jesus? Why do you? Why should we honour Jesus? The answer is hinted at in the seemingly simple story told in verses 1 to 6. Listen again. As they approach Jerusalem and come to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, say, 'The Lord needs it,' and he will send it back shortly." They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. To be clear, the word in Greek translated colt in English can mean the young of either a horse or a donkey. And if we look at the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John, we see that this is actually a young donkey and that Jesus was riding this donkey. And this, it was the same animal that Solomon was put on when he was anointed king in 1 Kings 1. And as Matthew and John point out in their Gospels, this was the fulfillment of the prophecy from Zechariah. But why spend time telling the story about how Jesus got the donkey? More ink has been given to it than the story of the triumphant entry itself. But why? Because there is something extraordinary about how this unfolds. The way Luke tells the story brings this out more clearly. So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. Jesus hadn't made these preparations beforehand. So how could he know about the colt? How could he know that it had never been ridden before? Jesus knows these things precisely because he is who he said he was in verse 3. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, say, "The Lord has need of it and will give it back, will send it back immediately." Jesus is Lord, the Lord, who not only demands this animal by his authority, but he is the Lord who knows everything there is to know about this animal. While still several miles from the village, he is the Lord who sends his disciples with the authority to use this animal. When they are questioned, they speak the Lord's words and his authority is recognised. What this story delicately reveals, and also in the rest of the New Testament confirms, is we honour Jesus because he is worthy of our honour. We honour him because he is Lord. He does not have to do anything to earn the honour, not even die on the cross or rise from the dead. We honour him, we worship him because of who he is. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, not simply a king, but the King, the King of Kings. Here he is, the Son of God. Here he is, the one by whom all things were created, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. He is God in human flesh. But is that why you honour Jesus? I think sometimes we expect God to do certain things in a certain way in our lives. Sometimes we believe that Jesus was sent to fix this or that problem, or fix this or that relationship. Yes, Jesus came to bring transformation, to effect radical change. But such changes are more like the aftershocks that follow the earthquake of recognising Jesus as the only one worthy of our undivided love and adoration. When we honour Jesus because of what he meant, of what we want him to do, rather than who he is, we are simply following this crowd down the road that eventually leads to rejection of Jesus. We might think, "God is not meeting my needs in the way I'd like." Eventually, the palm branches we once waved will be thrown aside. Eventually, we're looking to other messiahs, to other saviours. How can you check your motives when it comes to Jesus? Well, think about the thing that you most want God to do for you right now. Maybe the thing you pray about most often. Now imagine if God told you this morning, here and now, that he was not neglecting your need, but he was not going to do what you wanted him to do. Would you still honour him? Would you still praise him with the same excitement that we see here? Wouldn't he still be worthy? Or ask yourself this, when you read this story about Jesus being honoured, does your heart leap? Are you saying to yourself, finally, finally, Jesus is being honoured in the way he deserved to be honoured? He is not being approached as a genie in a bottle who grants wishes. He is not simply the miracle worker being thought of and stared at as some kind of sideshow, some kind of attraction. He is not being ridiculed and plotted against. Finally, Jesus is being treated with the kind of respect he is worthy of. When you read this reading, do you long to be there in the crowd, that you might prepare his path, that you might wave a palm branch, that you might cry out to him in praise? Jesus knew the crowd didn't understand the nature of his mission. He knew that they were blind to the fact that the enemy he sought to destroy was far more dangerous than the Roman legions. They only saw a crown. They couldn't see the cross. But nevertheless, Jesus received their praises because he was and is worthy of such praise. He was the Blessed One who came in the name of the Lord. He was and is the Messiah who would fulfill and will fulfill the promises related to David's throne. This is the beginning of the week that changed everything. Why does it start this way? So that we might grip the worthiness of Jesus. So that we might recognise and receive and remember his intrusive honour. If the week that changed everything is to change us, then it has to start here, with a right view of Jesus, with a vision of what ought to be. Mark wants us to hold on to this truth throughout the week, right up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. How does Palm Sunday connect to Good Friday? That Sunday was a shadow of what should be. Only Friday could make it what should be into what is. Only the cross of Jesus can change our self-honouring impulse into a Jesus-honouring impulse. As the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We don't ultimately honour Jesus because of what he did on the cross, but because of what he did there reveals the earth-shattering, universe-changing, soul-transforming truth about who he is. As he suffered there on the cross and gave his life there for each of us, we see by God's grace love like no other. Grace beyond compare, and the meaning and the rest we've always longed for. Now I ask you, have you seen Jesus through a different lens? None of this will make any sense if you haven't. And all of this will fade and become difficult if you lose sight of Jesus. Ask God today, this week, for new eyes, for the heart to honour him as we should, for a mouth to shout his praises, for those are the very things God loves to give. And he will give them and will continue to give them throughout eternity. And the tragic side of a triumphant event is that people don't see their God and their Lord Jesus Christ for who he really is. Amen.